Parents this month got their first chance to weigh in on proposals the CMS board is considering to diversify magnet schools. As part of that, they have to wrap their minds around demographics, transportation, and entrance lotteries for these schools. WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn and Lisa Worf each went to community meetings in different parts of Charlotte. They found parents who want good magnet schools that are easily accessible, and they grappled with how to achieve that.
Lisa, as you can hear, the meeting at Harding High School in West Charlotte was lively. CMS Superintendent Ann Clark began the meeting by pointing out that almost half of CMS schools have more than 75% of their students living in poverty. They struggle, and Harding is one of those schools. A racially diverse group of about 30 parents and a few students showed up for the discussion.
Well, the crowd was much larger at Myers Park High School in South Charlotte, around 200 or so. They were mostly white. Myers Park and Harding both have the same setup. Both are regular schools, so students are assigned there, and both also have an international baccalaureate magnet. But unlike Harding, Myers Park has fairly good test scores, and a third of students are low income.
Yeah, and those numbers are important because the CMS board wants to figure out how to make magnet schools more economically diverse.
Yes, right now, most magnets are largely made up of poor kids or more well-to-do ones. The hope is blending students of different socioeconomic backgrounds will reduce some of the challenges schools with lots of poor kids face, like high teacher turnover. Okay, so these proposals are really complicated. Gwen, just how many blank stares did you see?
A lot. They were given maps and lottery scenarios, and it quickly became obvious that people were confused.
Can you repeat the directions, like,
slowly?
I don't understand. This is for magnets only. It doesn't have anything to do with the regular high school.
And that was even before they began looking at transportation zones and lottery priorities.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion at Myers Park, too, and understandably so. Let's start with transportation zones. Most magnet schools fall into large transportation zones. If students attend a magnet in the zone where they live, they get bus service. Otherwise, they don't. If CMS wants more economically diverse magnets, those transportation zones also need to be diverse.
Yeah, and right now CMS has four zones and only one of them matches the diversity of the district. School board members are looking at changing those lines so that the number of low-income students per zone is more evenly spread out. Now, they could keep the four transportation zones and move the lines.
Or they could go with three zones. That would make for the most even spread of low-income students. But because the zones are bigger, it could also mean longer bus rides. Courtney Verzande has a junior at Myers Park who used to be in the IB program.
Size of zone does make a difference. Even if it's big, if it's going to take your kid an hour and a half to get there, then is size of zone actually the right way to approach it?
And Lisa, parents at Harding also brought up long bus rides, but in a slightly different way. Many didn't think there were enough good options in their current transportation zone. Parent Takesha Cowley said she'd like CMS to provide students transportation to more magnets outside the transportation zone where they live. She said the current policy puts low-income families at a disadvantage.
I think a huge part of the fragile communities are transportation being an issue. The opportunity is there, but access may not be there.
School Board Chair Mary McCray then stepped in to say the district does its best to make sure each transportation zone has a similar choice of magnet program.
If I'm in the blue zone, for instance, I have the same choices that the gray zone or the green zone might have.
Technically, yes, but these parents said not really.
You know, as a parent, it is also pretty clearly understood among parents that all programs within a similar theme are not created equal.
Right.
So while it may look like you have choices, you don't always have the choices.
And a perfect example is this school.
Like.
My son is a rising 10th grader. All of the classes for the IB magnet program are not necessarily available because of teacher turnover. Yeah, the option's there. It looks good on paper, but it's not an equitable solution.
At the Myers Park meeting, parents also made that point. The challenge is how do you attract more well-to-do families to apply to mainly low-income magnets that struggle? especially if they're happy with the school their child is assigned to.
Exactly, and that's what parents at Harding brought up as well. Let's listen to a bit of that discussion.
How do we make these schools attractive options? If we can't market our school as something that's going to make your kids successful, they're not going to come regardless of how many seats are available.
Right. I think if you let people apply anywhere they want, then a lot of times they will tend to go for a more homogenous situation.
Now, these discussions started from the point of how to diversify magnets, not whether to do that. At Myers Park, a few people did begin by saying they thought it was a good goal. After the meeting, I talked to others who didn't think socioeconomic status should be a factor. Gwen, did that come up at Harding?
It did. Parents generally agree they'd like to see more of an economic mix within their magnet programs. The CMS board is looking at doing that by reserving equal numbers of seats within each magnet for students from low, mid, and high socioeconomic status. CMS could measure that status by looking at things like income, parents' education level, and family structure.
At Myers Park, one parent suggested giving children assigned to low-performing schools first priority at magnets. And that's something the school board agreed last week they'd like to see happen. CMS did operate its magnet lottery that way for several years.
Now, these discussions were just about magnets. About 14% of CMS students currently attend those programs. CMS board plans to come up with a specific plan next month and vote on it in November. And then the board will tackle regular school boundaries in time for the fall of 2018.
And those looming boundary changes were clearly on parents' minds. For WFAE News, I'm Lisa Wharf.
And I'm Gwendolyn Glenn.